Great. Well, thank you so much for being here. My name is Sarek Mattson. I'm here from UC Berkeley, and I'll be sharing with you some of my PhD research. It's great to follow a talk on the use of soil amendments for remediation purposes, and I'll continue that theme moving over to arsenic contamination. So as we know, arsenic soil contamination is a major problem internationally, but also here in the U.S., with sources including mining and smelting industries, agriculture, and wood preservation industry. In fact, arsenic is listed as the substance with the highest priority for removal by the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry and the U.S. EPA. However, cleanup is challenged by the fact that there is no consistent set of standards for arsenic cleanup, with standards for residential sites ranging from less than 10 to over 100 ppm arsenic. We're interested in sustainable arsenic remediation, so specifically phytoextraction, the use of green plants to remove arsenic from the soil while leaving the soil in place. And we work with fern Pteris vittata, which is known to take up arsenic from the soil through its roots, then translocate the arsenic to its above-ground biomass, the fern fronds, where the arsenic is stored in the vacuoles at concentrations reaching well over 1,000 milligrams per kilogram. We then remove the fronds, thus removing the arsenic from the site while leaving the roots and rhizomes to regrow perennially. There's been considerable research on this fern since it was discovered as an arsenic hyperaccumulator in 2001, and most studies have occurred under greenhouse conditions. And even under these controlled conditions, the remediation rates have been relatively slow, with estimated remediation times on the order of decades. A number of studies have investigated the use of fertilizers to possibly increase remediation rates, either by increasing fern biomass or arsenic uptake in the fern. And in fact, the fastest rates leading to the shortest remediation times of about 17 years were found in ferns that received phosphate fertilizer, phosphate rock. So our overall goal is to develop new protocols for more rapid and effective phytoremediation of arsenic-contaminated soils using Pteris vittata. And specifically, we work under field conditions to determine the effects of organic and inorganic fertilization on Pteris vittata frond biomass, frond arsenic concentrations, and thus on cumulative arsenic removal from the soil. Our field site, shown here in October 2012, before we started work there, is an abandoned railroad right-of-way in a residential neighborhood in the city of Berkeley. The soil is compacted and contains a large amount of fill, with arsenic concentrations at the site in the range of 20 to 200 ppm. Our experimental design includes 1,600 P. vittata ferns planted in a plot that's 6 meters by 24 meters, and we've then subdivided that into a number of test plots receiving one of five treatments, either compost, nitrogen, organic or inorganic, and then phosphorus, either organic or inorganic. And then we compare those results to the results of the ferns growing in the control plot, which did not receive any fertilizer treatment. So we harvest the ferns approximately annually. We harvested first to 8 months after transplanting, harvest one, and then again at 21 months after transplanting, and harvest two. And we analyzed 10% of the ferns for biomass and arsenic uptake. We keep our samples separated by frond age to collect data on both mature and the senesced fronds. You can see here our sampling and harvesting process. And then we do sample the bulk soil after harvest at two depths. However, I don't have those bulk soil results available today. So I'll next move on into talking about our biomass and arsenic concentration results in the fern fronds, followed by our calculations of arsenic removal rates. But first, I would like to point out that although we are in a mild Mediterranean climate, we have experienced very high fern mortality at our site, losing up to 50% of the ferns due to winter freezing and flooding. So moving on to biomass, we do not see any effect of treatment on fern biomass. Here on the x-axis, we have our soil treatments, and on the y-axis, biomass in terms of grams per plant. And here in the green boxes are the biomass results from harvest one. And then in the turquoise boxes, the biomass results from harvest two. Still no strong effect of treatment on biomass. But comparing the results from harvest one to harvest two, here in the control plot, we did see significantly larger ferns in the second harvest compared to the first, whereas we saw the opposite trend in the inorganic phosphorus plot. We saw much smaller ferns in the second harvest relative to the first harvest, and that's probably a side effect of the fern mortality that we experienced. So moving on to the arsenic uptake, we routinely see the highest frond arsenic concentrations in the control ferns, with concentrations decreased in all of the treatment plots. Here, again, on the x-axis are the treatments, and on the y-axis, frond arsenic concentrations in ppm. Of course, we'd like to explain why we see lower concentrations in the ferns receiving the treatments. And for the compost ferns, we did calculate that the compost ferns removed more total arsenic than the control ferns. So we would expect that this would be a simple dilution effect where we have a lower concentration in larger ferns that receive the compost amendment. It's somewhat unclear why we're seeing these lower concentrations in the plots receiving the nitrogen treatment. We didn't expect the nitrogen amendments to increase arsenic concentrations in the ferns, and in fact, in another study, the nitrogen was also not shown to increase arsenic concentrations in the ferns. And we applied that amendment essentially to see the effect on the fern biomass. The phosphorus story is rather interesting. Phosphorus has been shown to interfere with arsenic uptake in Pteris vittata under hydroponic conditions. P. vittata, like many plants, takes up arsenate through the phosphate intake pathway. However, in another field study, phosphate was shown to increase arsenic uptake in the fern, but it looks like our results are more in line with the hydroponic study results. And we did see much lower concentrations in the senes fronds, shown here in the orange boxes, compared to in the mature fronds, still shown here in the red boxes. So it does appear that as fronds senesce, the arsenic leaches out of the fronds back into the soil at the base of the plant. Such that if we timed harvest to avoid frond senescence, we could increase total arsenic removal by up to 12%. And now, moving on to the arsenic uptake results from harvest two, here in the olive boxes, we see the same general trend as we saw in harvest one, with some interesting exceptions. We did see that here in the plots receiving the nitrogen treatment, that the mean frond arsenic concentration actually doubled in the second harvest compared to in the first harvest. So that's possibly an exciting instance of phytoremediation efficiency increasing over time. However, we see the opposite trend in the control plot. We see that the concentration is significantly lower in the second harvest compared to the first harvest. So here we see efficiency falling. So we then moved on to calculating our removal rates, which are based on the mean frond arsenic concentrations multiplied by the biomass to calculate the total arsenic uptake in terms of milligrams per plant. And then I then calculated the arsenic removal rate in here in terms of kilograms per hectare per year, and then backed out estimated remediation time, assuming a linear depletion of arsenic from the soil down to a hypothetical regulatory limit of 10 ppm. And really, we do see the fastest remediation times, the fastest rates leading to the shortest remediation times of about 40 years in the control and the compost plots, times which got a little bit longer based on the slightly slower rates that we found in the second year. And then contrary to what was previously reported in the literature, we find our longest remediation times of almost 200 years in the plots receiving the phosphorus treatments. And then in the nitrogen plots, again, due to the increase in uptake we found in the second year, that remediation time is almost half based on the rates that we found in the second year compared to what it was in the first year. So that's very exciting. So I do have some preliminary soil results just from surface soil arsenic concentrations after 28 months of phytoextraction, and you can see that they are very heterogeneous. We could possibly explain the lower concentration here in the compost plot as an example of phytoextraction working, since we did see the most uptake in those ferns. But we certainly can't use that same explanation here in the phosphorus-treated plots. So there it's possible that the phosphate amendment is actually promoting arsenic leaching further down into the soil profile. It's also possible that we're seeing these lower concentrations due to a soil texture difference in our site because we do see more clay soil in this part of the plot. So to summarize, we did see our fastest removal rates achieved in the compost-treated ferns, leading to our best remediation time of about 40 years. And across the board, we did see that treatments decreased arsenic concentrations in the fronds relative to the control. And at this time, we really don't have any strong evidence of arsenic removal from the soil. And we did, of course, experience very high fern mortality at our site. This all leads us to conclude, based on our results, that phytoextraction is not effective in in-situ field conditions, contrary to what greenhouse studies would suggest. And we do find that phosphates amendments do appear to compete with arsenic for uptake into the fern. So in future work, we'll continue working under complex field conditions to investigate the effects of soil texture as well as mycorrhizal fungi on arsenic uptake in the fern. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge our funding sources and community partners and the many undergraduates who have contributed to this project. Thank you very much, and I'm happy to take any questions if there's time.
Let's thank our speaker. I think the lady in the back has hands up for herself.
Right, exactly. In our study, we're basically constrained by local regulations to dispose of them as hazardous waste. So they do go to a hazardous waste incineration facility, which is not necessarily the most preferable outcome. Some interesting papers have looked at digesting the plant matter and then extracting the arsenic from the plant matter, and then you could potentially reuse the arsenic, which can theoretically cut down on the continued mining of arsenic. But I agree, it is an issue. We wouldn't want to end up with sort of a not in my backyard, arsenic removal situation.
I think that gentleman has your hand up first.
Yes, they do continue to produce fronds. Other studies have shown that frond biomass can increase over time, but at the same time, other studies have shown that arsenic concentrations generally decrease over time, which is what we're seeing in the control plot. So that's not a complete surprise there. We actually just wrapped up our third harvest there, so I'll be very interested to see what's happening in the nitrogen-treated plots.
Please.
Have you considered biostabilization as an alternative technology to phytoextraction with these plants?
I think that's a great idea. I don't think it would work with this plant because you would, of course, just have the cycling right there in the soil system. In this case, the goal is actually to remove the arsenic from the soil because several community groups want to plant an orchard there. So probably the best use of the soil would be to have the arsenic removed.
Maybe we'll answer one more quick question or two. So who has hands up? I think that gentleman.
The soil acidity data you present is total.
The arsenic or the acidity data?
The soil, the acidity concentration
in
soil data
you presented.
It's
total. Yeah, so of course, looking into the extractable and the bioavailable arsenic is the next step that we'll be pursuing.
Do we run out of time? So if it's very quick, so just.
Of planting as one have this plant in the field and it mines that root zone, it's not surprising that the next harvest would have less because it's relying essentially in some of the same area.
Right, and that's actually why we thought we might have seen a higher uptake in the nitrogen-treated plots, because perhaps the nitrogen was increasing the root biomass. But I agree, that is why you would see success in the greenhouse studies. And I mean, we're trying to balance, you know, having a low-budget operation, so keeping the ferns in the same place and not replanting them, but at the same time, it would probably be better to take them up, retill the soil, redistribute the arsenic, and plant them in different places. I agree.
Okay, let's thank our speaker.